Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
In Florida?
Yeah.
I heard a story about this woman that was swimming in the ocean. I think it was in Florida. And dolphins started swimming with her, right?
Yeah.
And the dolphins kept poking her in the chest, right above her breast. And they kept coming with their noses and hitting her in the chest. And she got really scared and they took her out of the water, but the dolphins kept swimming until they got her into the shallow water and hitting her in the same spot. And she had a big bruise right on the top of her breast from the dolphins. And they took her to the doctor to examine her. And they did a mammogram. And found that she had cancer.
Really?
Right in that
and
spot.
She didn't know?
No, she had no idea. And they said, well, they were able to cure it because it was early.
Every fisherman has his story. The amazing thing about Jim's story is that the dolphins knew that the woman wasn't aware that she had cancer. 3 hours have passed.
That's it. Thank you, Jack. That was a clip from Fishing with John, featuring John Lurie and Jim Jarmusch. You are listening to the Sun Cinema Podcast, a weekly radio show that examines the highs and lows of the medium of film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only privately owned art house cinema. I am your host, Jason Colley, and I am joined by my co-hosts and the proprietors of Sun Cinema, David Cabrera and Ryan Mitchell. Gentlemen?
Wow. That was, yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Jason, is that you?
Jason, Colley, and Ryan are not here. This is David. How was that, Jack?
It was really convincing.
Do you think Jason practices that in front of the mirror?
He goes to the bathroom here, like, before showtime and just gets hyped up and reads it. Yeah, I could see that.
And when he's not on the show and he, like, calls in, he manages to just pull it off so well. I wonder if he's reading it or not. But anyway, so...
Be.
Jason and Ryan are not here, but I do have two very special guests who are friends and neighbors of Sun Cinema, both doing really cool stuff locally. Robin Bell and Marielle Garcia. Robin, Marielle, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, yeah.
Hi. Robin Bell is the founder of Bell Visuals. He is an award-winning editor, video journalist, and multimedia artist based in Washington, D.C., Robin works on a range of creative, political, and public interest projects. Building upon his formal training, as I'm just reading this off your website.
It's fun to hear. It's actually really good for me to listen
good.
To this.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, keep going. Or?
Who doesn't like writing their own bios, right?
I actually highly suggest anyone who has to make a bio to have a friend or ideally pay a writer to write your bio. Because I could not write this.
Yeah.
I've written different versions of this my entire life, but this was actually, I think, one of the, like, very even keeled for, like, that I could tell someone in, like, a school.
Sure.
Or a nightclub, like, this is what I do. But I'd usually just start with, I do, like, projections. But I don't mean to interrupt, because do you
want me to keep going?
Yeah, I would love it. Yeah.
All right. Building upon his formal training as a classical printmaker...
Yes.
Robin developed a unique style of live video collage, which he has performed at well-known venues, including the Kennedy Center, 930 Club, the Phillips Collection in Washington, D.C., Central Park, Summer Stage in New York City, and the Hollywood Bowl. Oh, really?
Yeah, man. Dude,
That was cool. Insane. Robin was the lead video editor for PBS television show Foreign Exchange with Fareed Zakaria, right?
Yeah, that was like a almost like a lifetime ago. That was like I was an editor for a weekly television show, like, and I would work under crazy deadlines trying to understand the international community in a magazine format during the Bush years. Like, it was pretty crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He also taught video classes at the Corcoran College of Art and Design.
6 years.
Welcome.
Yeah, man.
Robin.
Thank you.
We'll talk more about your work and whatever else you want to talk about in a bit. Our other guest, Marielle Garcia, is a community organizer and board director for Comma DC, a local nonprofit that hosts classes taught by refugees and immigrants here at the Line Hotel, actually, in Adams Morgan. She's also a board member for Mount Pleasant Main Street, a community-based nonprofit organization that promotes community development, cultural uniqueness, and economic health of the Mount Pleasant Commercial Corridor. For the past 6 months, she has been spearheading community efforts to support Best World Supermarket, a small, locally owned grocery store located in Mount Pleasant. Marielle, welcome.
Thank you.
Was that a good... You wrote that, right?
Yeah, like 5 minutes ago.
That's really well written. I support and I'm very... I was like, this is going to be a great conversation. Like, thank you for bringing us here.
Thank you so much for coming. I didn't have a writer to write my bio, so I just threw something together.
It sounded like it.
Yeah.
So I don't usually talk very much during the radio shows, but Jason and Ryan are not here. We usually start with a quick recap of last week's programming, and then a brief sort of tease of the coming attractions in the next week. I'm going to talk a little bit about July. So last week at Suns, we showed... What did we show?
See, the funny thing is you usually do this part, actually.
I usually do this part, so I can't fuck this part up.
Right.
So last Tuesday we did a screening of When the Levees Broke. That was a lot of fun. We made it through about 2 episodes.
Very uplifting, I'm sure.
Yeah. I just forgot how fucked that shit was.
Whole situation.
Yeah.
That was a shift. You know, there's a great video online, if you have time to check this out. It's an interview with Celine Dion, and she donated about, I think it was like $1 million or something like that. And she just goes off. They're interviewing her about, you know, why are you donating this money? And Celine Dion, if you guys don't know, she...
Her heart will go on.
She
thank you, Jack.
She's been singing, I think, since about 15 years old, and she's like married her manager, and the woman is supremely talented. But I do believe, and this is a theory of mine, she can only express herself through song. If you see her kind of talking about anything, it's quite difficult for her to express herself.
Interesting.
And so she's talking about what's happening in Katrina. And how these people are rioting and looting stores, and the police are going after them, and the National Guard and everything. And she just starts crying during this interview, and she goes, "You know what? Just let them have their things. Let them." And she's just crying everywhere. And he goes, "Well, why don't you tell us how this makes you feel?"
And she starts singing.
She just starts breaking into song.
Of course. Perfect.
In the middle of all this.
Wow.
I do think that would be a
great... I wish we had that on YouTube
right now. Like,
had I known you were going to bring that.
Sorry.
Man. Jack?
Next episode. Hold on. Here we go.
Yeah? Oh,
damn.
Sometimes he watches televisions with me and I'm saying to him, those people went through a big storm and they will be fine.
Oh yeah, she's crying.
Because I know at the end they'll be.
Let's see where this song starts.
Yeah, it's good.
She's a diva, you know.
I did sing that song a few years back with Andrea Bocelli.
Ah, yes.
And I cannot think about
Larry
a song.
King?
Yeah.
About a prayer. I will do my very best and.
Let's not play this too
I'll
long.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, we need at least a few bars here.
Yeah, just a couple bars.
I would do my best.
I pray you'll be all right.
Oh, beautiful voice. Voice of an angel.
And watch us where we go. And help us to be wise.
Should see Larry.
Yeah,
King.
We're good.
He just feels so uncomfortable.
I hate to say it, it's like she's sending her thoughts and prayers to the people of New Orleans, where actually they needed a lot more help from the government and a lot of people.
Larry King does not look impressed, though.
Yeah, really.
Well, she did also donate, you know, $1 million.
She did her part.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think like everybody else dropped the ball. That was like a seminal moment. Like I was literally working on the TV show at that moment. Like that was one of the news stories that I edited.
Wow.
Wild. Yeah, man.
So Wednesday we did Pharaoh Hawk, our good friend Tarek, did a night of episodes of Popeye. I was not there. I was told he showed mostly offensive, potentially racist episodes. And he said, ouch, about that. But he said it was good. Fishing with John, we just heard a clip from that. It's a five-episode series with musician and artist, actor John Lurie. He's fishing with a bunch of different musicians and actors. It's pretty funny. It's really funny, actually. Well, the narration is so good.
That whole dolphin breast cancer thing.
Sure. Yeah, that's just a... Just a
great. I'm gonna, you know, honestly, it sounds more enjoyable than yearly mammogram or anything like that.
Sure.
So maybe I'll just have to go fit like swimming with dolphins more often, just to, you know, breast health check.
That's, yeah, that was the point of that clip, I think.
Science.
Science. Then Friday we did Polyester, another filthy John Waters movie. It was a very good crowd for that one. That one was fun. Saturday we did a beach party. This is always the most awkward part of the show. It's me like slowly trying to remember what we did. Saturday we did a beach party. Ryan made a lot of slushies. Ryan, if you're listening, you did a really good job on the slushies. He made a pina colada and some blue thing.
It was good.
It was good, yeah. We sold a lot of them.
Nice.
People had a good time. There was a lot of sugar. There was a lot of booze.
Good mix.
It sounds like a good Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I think I walked in there and there was like just two people
you
at
got
the bar.
There, got the, like,
blowing up beach balls.
There was actually a person
like,
that walked in.
Gotta go, actually.
Yeah, there was a guy that walked in and looked around and just saw a bunch of people blowing up beach balls. And he was like, yeah, I'm gonna cruise. See you guys later. He did not come back when it got fun. So that's his only impression of Sun Cinema.
A lot of lonely boys blowing up beach balls.
Yeah. Sunday we did a doc called The Beaches of Agnes, which is a movie by and about Agnes Varda. Have you seen that, Robin? No? It was good. It was a little drawn out. It was like 2 hours long. I was like, all right.
Sunday night beach themed, water themed.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we do like a monthly theme for the programming, and this month it was all vaguely, if not directly, water or aquatic based. Hence the John Waters movies and Beaches of Agnes, etc. So this upcoming week, tonight we are doing a feature called Flint. It is a made-for-TV movie. It is a Lifetime special starring Queen Latifah. Some of the proceeds tonight are going to go to a nonprofit that is working directly with that situation called Flint Rising. Tomorrow night we are doing a film called Daughters of the Dust that is presented by our good friend Mary Jane Regalado. Daughters of the Dust is a film by Julie Dash, who is part of the UCLA Film School, LA Rebellion, a bunch of cool directors coming from that. The basic synopsis of Daughters of the Dust is the dawn of the 20th century, a multi-generational family in the Gula community on the Sea Islands off of South Carolina, former West African slaves who adopted many of their ancestors, also reading this, traditions, struggle to maintain their cultural heritage and folklore while contemplating immigration to the mainland, even further from their roots. I have not seen this one yet, but it looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah, if Julie Dash did it, it's probably very well done.
Yeah.
She has a really good one called Sisters in Cinema, where she does like a bunch of interviews and discussions with female directors like Maya Angelou and Cheryl Dunn, who did Watermelon Woman.
Which I have not seen. I've seen Watermelon Man.
Yeah.
Have you seen Watermelon Woman?
No, it's on my to-watch list.
On the to-watch list. Thursday is a film called A Scene at the Sea. It is about a deaf garbage man. He finds a broken surfboard, and even though he has no experience surfing, he repairs the board, and with his loyal girlfriend, they set out to learn how to ride the waves.
This loyal girlfriend.
I know, that's a weird. That I'm also just reading that off of the thing. You're like, loyalty, loyalty. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah.
That's how I want to be described.
Yeah.
Loyal girlfriend.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Friday, we are doing a screening of Hairspray. It's the finale of our John Waters Fridays, Filthy Fridays. Saturday, we're doing a screening of Jaws. Boom, boom.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
I was trying to follow up something on that. So I'll just leave it at that. Which also leads us into next week, next month. Sunday, we're doing a screening of the Krzysztof Kieslowski's Bleu.
All right.
Bleu. So next month, the theme is red, white, and blue steel. For the month of July, we are doing a bunch of movies that have red, white, and blue in the titles. We're doing some American stuff. Zoolander for the blue steel part, obviously. And then on Fridays, we're doing all Patrick Swayze movies. He's an American hero, so we wanted to highlight that. So there'll be some Red Dawn, Dirty Dancing, Roadhouse, Point Break.
That's like the solid definitive list.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. If you have four, yeah, I think that's the four.
Yeah.
Well done. Patrick, I mean, you didn't do Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, it's so good though.
It's depressing.
That man's ass is like a national treasure.
That's fair. I forgot about that part. Damn. I mean,
because you didn't show Ghost.
Yeah. We're doing Pierrot Le Fou on Bastille Day. It is a very blue, white, and red movie. It's French.
Cool.
Yeah. Jean-Luc Godard. Thursdays, we're doing a bunch of documentaries about different American experiences. We're showing some episodes of OJ Made in America. We're doing Grey Gardens. We're doing this movie called Los Sures, which is about pre-gentrified Williamsburg. It's about Puerto Ricans. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, it looks dope.
Marielle may be helping me do a salsa night.
Oh, do you have a date? Do you have a date for that?
Yeah, this is Thursday the 19th.
Thursday the 19th.
Yeah, so hopefully I'm going to reach out to my Puerto Rican communities to see if we can get some salsa DJing afterwards, some dancing, maybe a nonprofit that we can partner with.
Yeah, definitely going to do that part.
Yeah, so sure. You know, some of the proceeds can go down to folks in Puerto Rico who are still struggling with getting clean water and electricity.
Yeah.
It's been almost a year down there, so.
Has it really?
Yeah. Maria, Hurricane Maria, was last September.
Damn.
I know. So a lot of people on the island are still, running electricity off of generators.
Yeah.
A lot of them still can't go back to work because their offices don't have electricity. So they're still fighting the good fight down there.
Yeah.
Electricity is key.
Yeah.
Like, you need that. Understatement. Electricity is key and water.
Yeah.
Water is really central. Those are things we should all fight for everybody to have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Clean water.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Tuesdays of next month, we're doing a bunch of just random revolutionary type films. We're doing a film called The Red and the White. Is that a Hungarian? I believe it's Hungarian. I don't know. We're doing a movie that Robin actually mentioned to me, The Spook Who Sat at the Door.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Doing that on the 17th next month.
Oh, that's I highly recommend that film.
We're doing a film called Can Dialectics Break Bricks, which is a kung fu movie that has been dubbed over with dialectical materialist philosophy.
I've seen parts of that. I haven't seen the entire film. That looks incredible.
Parts Dope. Of it as well. It's pretty fun.
That's so cool. That's on the.
And then A Grin Without a Cat is a great Chris Marker movie about, you know, 60s revolutionary left stuff.
I have that film. I've scanned through it, and I should actually sit down and watch the entire film.
Well, you could on July 31st.
July 31st.
There you go.
So we're doing the Blue, nice. White, and Red trilogy. It's a Krzysztof Kieslowski trilogy. We're doing The Red Shoes, which is a great Michael Powell movie about ballet. And then we're doing Blue is the Warmest Color, which is a beautiful movie.
Oh, man, there's a film that I totally wish I knew that I recommended you.
Which one?
Blue is Beautiful, the film with the makeup.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and then the filmmaker, James Schneider, is like in the neighborhood, like 2 blocks away.
Oh, I met him. He's cool.
Yeah, he's totally cool. He's badass. Well, but I mean, it's not too late. You never know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
or if you do it again.
It kind of is. Well, yeah.
If you do it again, like next time, you know, like, well, Blue is Beautiful. It's a pretty, you could sneak it in, like,
you can
after.
Sneak it in somewhere.
Next Blue Month. We'll just do all Blue Month.
Yeah.
A Blue Period.
Yeah, a Blue Period Month.
Yeah, we're doing Slurpee Day on 7-Eleven. Ryan's going to make some slushies.
nice.
We're doing another Summer Slash with Donna and Jacksknife this time. So it'll be, I believe he's trying to find an episode of Salute Your Shorts. Then there'll be a drag show. And then we're showing Wet Hot American Summer. And then Pharaoh Hawk is presenting White Dog, which is a very amazing but controversial movie about a racist white dog. Yeah, so I guess that's the spiel of that. I think we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to my guests. Our, it's just me.
I've got the bug. Well, come on, baby, let's do the fun. Come on, baby, give me a hug. Come on, baby, my turn's on. Do I want a bug? But a hole in my Cinderella room.
So that was a clip from the famous John Waters film Hairspray, the original, not the shitty remake. Have you seen the remake?
I have not seen
the remake. I say that about most remakes, and I've like never seen them. But Jack, have you seen?
I have not seen either. No.
Well, this one's probably better.
Yeah, I would guess.
You would hope so.
I think it's a safe assumption. If you're just tuning in, we're coming to you live from the Full Service Radio Station at the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, in the Adams Morgan neighborhood. This is the Sun Cinema Podcast. Sun Cinema is a small art house cinema in Mount Pleasant in Washington, D.C., you can find out more information about Suns at www.suncinema.com or follow us on social media at Suns Cinema, S-U-N-S Cinema. We just did a recap on some of our most recent programming and tease next month at Suns, but we're going to shift gears and talk to our guests.
Hello.
Robin Bell, hi.
Hey, yeah, how's it
going?
Hey,
buddy. How are you, man?
It's good. It's good to like see you here. Like I usually see you at Suns.
Yeah, you see me on the porch.
I see you on the porch.
A lot.
I was actually just thinking that we're going to have like a conversation like we probably have at least once every week or two, like where we're just sitting in front and I see you, Mariah, I see you, David. And we're all just like hanging out, talking about, you know, the state of the world and what good things we can do while we're here. So it's good. I'm like, thank you for having us. Is this... Question though, is this the first time you've had guests on?
No, okay. We usually have guests.
Oh, okay,
it's usually three of us that do it.
Oh, okay.
And then we've had different. Yeah, Don's been on also.
But is this Tarek's the first time on. Without Ryan?
This is the first time without Ryan and Jason.
Okay.
Oh damn.
Yeah. So
we got you.
Don't so fuck this up.
Yeah. You guys are doing great.
So
yeah. Robin, tell us a little bit. You said something about the state of the world and good things we're doing. Let's talk less about the state of the world and more about some of the good things you're doing. I mean, we can do both, but
you kind of have to do both. But it's how you focus. And like, you know, I personally focused, like my main art form right now is doing projection work. So I focus light on objects. And like, you know, like we were actually just doing a projection 2 weeks ago here at the Line Hotel.
Oh yeah. I was going to mention that. For Pride, right?
For Pride, yeah. And Pride's an, like, it's an awesome project to work with. I was about to say interesting, but it's awesome. But one of the things that's interesting about it was the looking back at a celebration that starts in a protest. And it was this kind of, it's become a thing where it's
Stonewall.
It's incredible. Like, and to think that, you know, 20 years later, outside of a hotel in Washington, D.C., you have hundreds of people hanging out and checking out the stuff. It's really cool. Like, and there's this, you know, I think that's like the thing that we try to focus on is like how our work fits within what's going on. And then with the actual form of projections, we're trying to figure out how to create images on pre-existing buildings to transform a moment of kind of like conversation.
Yeah. The Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York actually started also as a form of protest because the Puerto Rican flag was created in conjunction with the Cuban flag, and it was banned, actually. You couldn't be seen with a Puerto Rican flag. And so Puerto Ricans in New York started waving the flag, wearing a flag on T-shirts, and that protest formed and continued on to the Puerto Rican Day Parade. And now you see the Puerto Rican flag on all the T-shirts.
it's amazing when, I mean, I think that's the thing about
how... I didn't know that.
Oh.
It's interesting.
Pretty awesome.
So, you know, you got that big shirt with like the...
I knew the flag was star. On a lot of shirts. Yeah. Yeah, that's not what I meant.
But it's cool. But
you put on everything.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like, yeah, it's like something becomes a symbol. And like that symbol then becomes something that we see. And at a certain point, we also like are used to that symbol. And how does that symbol change over time? And how do we like look at that? And then kind of, you know, that's kind of what I mean by trying to do good with what's in front of us is like it's partially examining what's happened before, what's happening now, and how we want to see what looks like forward.
And in this part, in this projection in particular, right, you incorporated elements of was it like live or video?
Yeah, I mean, we had footage from as like old as the 50s to footage that was shot within the last year. So, with this one, we did. We updated the flag, so I made these animations with the new flag that exists, and then incorporated that with imagery.
It was really beautiful.
Thank you.
To see it, and the colors were amazing.
We fought really hard to get the brightest colors humanly possible with the projector. Like there's actually like a legal like video levels. So like, you know, when you think about light, it goes from like 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. And when you get to like 105, 110, that's like over the limit. It's just like with audio and like compressors
too
and
whatnot. Too much color.
Too much color. So basically when I would work on the videos, I would short circuit the TV. And I knew that was when it was like too high. I was like, all right, this might cause some...
It's too hot.
It looks cool. Anyways, so yeah, thank you. We enjoyed it. And that's what we're trying to do.
These colors, do you have to like look at them like when you look at an eclipse or something with like glasses or something?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it just when it hits a certain point, it just the TV just like turns on and off violently and makes like crazy like feedback noises. Like,
technology fights back.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. Like when I worked on the TV show, we actually had like this whole process of like getting the video legal. And we'd had to like take it to the special shop and they'd put like closed captioning on it and also like the video levels to make sure it didn't like, you know, because you don't want to hit a satellite feed that has levels that are too high and like blow up televisions all across the world.
Sounds like evil master plan. Like,
is it like Halloween Moon 2 laser. Or 3? Do you know what I'm talking about? There's like it's one of the Halloween movies. Uh-huh. It's either
I'm supposed to say Halloween that I've seen 2 and 4. Both of those.
You should say, but there's a whole thing about transmitting imagery in.
Oh, anyways, interesting.
Yeah. Oh. I have nothing to do with that. That's not any of the inspiration. That was just me remembering this film after thinking about how to make colors as bright as possible, which is like I think what every artist since the cave people have been doing is trying to figure out how to get like the brightest colors to like kind of examine what we're in the middle of.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're also tell me more about some of the films that you've worked on, including Positive Force.
Oh, Positive Force.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to start talking about Positive Force.
Okay.
That's cool. It's like, I mean, it's the, an amazing organization, an amazing group, and it's an amazing story of people who use their talents to work towards doing benefit shows to benefit people in their community and people around the world. And it's like the experience of doing that kind of work that then leads on to doing other things after that. So that was a film that I worked on that came out in 2014. It was a feature length, and we worked on it for about 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And I got to interview nearly 100 people about the organization, the group, and different bands and how people were affected by it. And the film was actually a benefit film, so all the proceeds of the DVD went to the organization.
Cool.
Unfortunately, DVDs have not been doing well since 2014. not a lot of people buy DVDs, but people do like DVDs. But you can see the film online too on Vimeo.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a.
Can you watch it in 1080p?
You can watch it in 1080p.
Cool.
Yeah. You can watch it HD. I think you can watch it in SD too if you really
want.
An
SD.
If your internet connection isn't good, if you're like streaming from somewhere, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a film about the neighborhood, like the neighborhood that, you know, Sun Cinema is in the area of DC. So with making that film, I really wanted to make a film that was about my own community.
Yeah.
And what was around here, and this idea of, you know, you don't have to go all around the world to find something that you care about and you can work on.
Yeah.
And I think that's a, like kind of a thing with our work that I try to do is as much as I can is create positive work that will leave people or an audience with some sense of I can do something and
something
optimism
to work with. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And not shying away from what's going on and different things that kind of bother us, but say, yes, we acknowledge what's going on, but, you know, we can figure out one thing to work on that will, you know, because we can't fix everything at once. We can usually find one thing, and if a good group of people get together, we can actually change it.
I think that's a really important message, too, especially in D.C., where you have, like, such a expat community, but you know, there's a lot of people here from all over the states, all over the world, and oftentimes, like, what's around us, what's close to us, what's right under our nose is overlooked. And you know, taking the time to explore DC and what's been in DC and the history of DC is really important and very, like, enriching, I think. So cool work.
Thank you. And that film, I that was like my first feature-length doc, and I encourage anyone who wants to make a feature-length doc to do it, or to make any. Actually, I recommend everyone to make a short film before they make a feature-length.
I was going
to
say we had Dawn on here once, and she kind of was like, "Documentary work could take over your whole life, so just be careful."
Films take over your life. I mean, yeah. Films are usually a collective effort that it's only equal to raising a child.
Yeah.
And you have to like treat it like a baby, then a child. And then you, just like a child, you hopefully do everything you can right, and you have to let it grow and be its own thing and an adult and go out into the world. So like it's weird, but I really do believe that. Like I have friends who had kids right when I started certain films or certain projects.
And you're like, this is my baby.
This is my baby. You can get it on DVD and watch it on Vimeo.
Yeah, with your babies. I mean, how long did it take you from, you know,
first phone call I got, because it was going to be the 25-year anniversary of Positive Force the next year, I was in towards the end of 2009. The very first interview we shot was with Jello Biafra in my bedroom.
Cool.
For 4 hours. We converted my bedroom into like a studio because I was like, how can I do all these interviews? And we basically got rid of the bed and brought in lights and mic'd it up. Anyways, and that was in January of 2010. And so we shot pretty consistently through that year. Then we worked it another year on the cut. And then really with films, I do feel like the last 2 years are the hardest because it really depends on your budget and what you can do. Because like when you say a film takes over your life, you know, most filmmakers I know just can't stop everything and work on a film. I mean, some people who have the means can just make it their only focus. But for most filmmakers, they have, you know, I was a professor when I was working on the film for most of it. Which being a professor and trying to make a film is really hard. It'd be a lot easier to be like some another occupation.
Yeah.
Not a teacher. But it's actually though, it is
trying.
But yeah. It was actually really good though. Cause you know, you're with a film, like you're storytelling. It's your, a lot of it is showing people and seeing how it reacts. And you know, the thing about it, you know, film is like, if you have one scene or even one shot that's not good, it throws you off. And the more you have those, the more people will turn it off. And you know, in a theater, you're always forced to watch it. But
sure.
With the film that I made, in general, it's not going to be watched in a theater. It's going to be watched in someone's home. So I have to make sure.
We could show it.
You could totally show it. I mean, we don't have.
If you want us to, if you want it to be seen in a theater.
I mean, if you.
I like that we're discussing this now. Yeah, that we've never discussed this.
We should like totally like yeah like. Is with ask the audience. Yeah. Audience, what do you think?
If you're
listening, yeah. Call in. Send me a text message.
What is the email again? Reservations at the Lion Hotel. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that where we want to send callers?
Yeah, just Jack.
All of our callers
at the Lion Hotel.
Jack at the Lion Hotel.
Yeah. Perfect. Subject line: free room.
Free subject line: free room. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's Yeah, I mean, so I mean, working on a film is cool. I like. You know, and the thing is, I made the film in my own community, in my own neighborhood. So I would actually see the subjects of the film walk by my window.
Yeah.
Like, which creates a whole other, like, kind of level of, like, expectation. And also, in some ways, enriching, because you do get feedback of what's going on and, like, what is the story. And, you know, for us, it was trying to figure out how to tell 25, and by the end of it, 30 years of activism in a film format, you know. Yep. And you know, with us, we decided we needed the film to be under an hour and a half, and we ended up the film being 69 minutes, which is short.
It's pretty short, but
it's not really like, yeah. That's a lot of time. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, we really wanted to make it, I felt like the shorter it was, the more it was accessible for people to follow a story, you know, based on how much time there is and you're in one's day.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that was like a thing that was, it was cool to work on a film that's in your neighborhood, but it's also like kind of like, you're in it. So you're like, someone's like, hey, so how's the film going? And you're like, I'm still working on
still.
It. Still working. It's probably like if you're starting. Yeah. But I was really like, it's cool. Like it was cool to, you know, there's been every now and then, I think with any project you work on, if you can have a moment where someone sends you a letter or has a real conversation with you where they're like, hey, I saw what you did. This really made me think about what I do. And I've decided to make a decision to do something. It's pretty incredible. And I think that that was like one of the things that when I started working on the film was, I was like, I wanted to kind of figure out one positive way I can kind of affect dialogue. Yeah.
Was there a story that maybe going into it, going into the filming of it, you thought would be impactful, but upon like going in depth and learning more about it, you found out something that like really kind of blew your mind?
I don't know. I mean, like the specific story, I don't have a good answer to that.
Mm.
I think the one thing that I had, the one thing that did get me was there was just so many stories. Yeah, that's like like too easy of an answer. As a film. Okay. There were so many good stories, but there really are when you're like looking at like 25 years of activism in DC and like the idea of, you know, kind of the idea of like looking at ideas and how an idea can kind of carry. And like, and if you're, if an idea can sometimes carry to a certain point, it can have a level of influence that can just change society and the world. Mm-hmm. And like with the DC punk scene, what happened during the 90s was a scene that had cultivated in Washington, DC, which is like political punk activism, hit the main stage, you know, through the whole world, like through bands like Nirvana and Bikini Kill.
Yeah.
People learned about certain forms of politics, you know, right. Like that, like community
that it hadn't
stuff.
Been exposed to,
and it had a shift, you know, and I think that was the thing. And then how does that affect the group? And then how do you kind of have these moments? And then, you know, talking to different waves of activists, because I think that with kind of any work, you kind of work on something and then you might go on to something else. So, you know, being a youth, primarily youth-based organization, you have people who get into it and then they kind of go. But but what makes that group really great is that, you know, there's people in the group who've been there for, you know,
decades,
few years or decades. And like with Mark, who's been there since the very beginning. And then now a lot of their work is with seniors. So you have this kind of multi-generational thing.
Cool.
And then you also have, now you have like the kids of the bands in the 90s. Their kids are the same age now in their own bands. And they're playing like the same venue. And it's like,
dope.
It's kind of like, yeah, you're like, holy shit. Like, like that's the one of those things where, you know, you're like, okay, this is where coming together with what you got can really do something bigger than you are. Yeah. That film, I'm pretty proud of.
Right on. As it should be.
Nice.
Briefly, we're going to tell us about some of the stuff that you're working on right now, briefly, and then we're going to move on to our next guest.
Awesome. Well, right now I'm working on we haven't finished. But we're working on a large series of projections around immigration and what's going on with the administration and trying to get people.
That seems kind motivated.
It's pretty big. It's
kind of relevant.
It's kind of relevant. It's kind of timely.
What's going on with this administration?
Yeah, it's definitely keeping us busy. You know, I also have some long term projects that we're working on. You know, I'm working on some light and sound and video installations. Working on a large public art piece right now that, you know, it's going to take, you know, at least 5 years of my life to work on. So, and it's cool. Like, you know, trying to figure out ways of just, you know, continuing to make art, making films that, you know, hopefully brighten people's day and also help assist, you know, good environments, like, you know, creating spaces where, people can like look at something or be like, I had a really bad day. You see that artwork and you're like, yeah, there's some right hope on. Out there. Yeah, yeah. Right on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You've been getting a lot of buzz, for some of the, Trump Hotel specifically, projections.
Yeah.
Did you anticipate that?
No.
Or
yeah. No. I mean, it's funny because I do think that when you work on things, you work on things and it happens in waves when people notice it.
Sure.
So, you know, we had done four before on the Trump Hotel.
Yeah.
Before the one that went like completely viral.
Yeah.
And then we did another like 7 more, and then the 13th one or something went like viral.
Yeah.
And it's like time periods where, you know, it's like riding a wave. I mean, like if you're trying to like pay attention to it, you can kind of, there's moments when you're like super on it, like you're like, oh wow, that timing was perfect, and it was something that resonated, that, you know, it's like it can go either way. Like we do try to keep it positive,
sure,
but you know, at the same time, it's like these moments where you're just like, oh man, that's exactly what I needed to see.
Or you're just like, I mean, it is a positive thing to counter something negative,
yeah,
or to call out something that is ultimately,
yeah, I know, it's kind of like
not good.
It's kind of like part of the agreement that we all should share, which is like, how do we all like interact with each other? And if someone's being really bad,
yeah,
it's on all of us to be like, hey, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's what we're in the middle of figuring out what the lines are with that.
Yeah.
But in general, like, just be good to each other. Like, that's kind of, make good artwork that's good for each other. Yeah. I'm excited to hear about what you're about to talk about.
Jack, we can skip that other. We were going to play a Red Dawn clip, but I don't think there's really any point in doing that. So our next guest, Mariel Garcia. Mariel, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that you are involved in and working on.
Yeah, sure. For about the past 6 months, I've been working on this project with Best World Supermarket, which is a local woman-owned small business grocery store in Mount Pleasant, California. Or California, what?
California.
D.C.
Yeah.
Basically, what's kind of happened is Best World's lease ended this past April or so, and they have been struggling to renew their lease for a long-term lease, like 10 years. Leases is usually like the commercial lease for stores of this size. Best World, if you've never been to it, was formerly known as Best Way, and that's what a lot of people in the DC community remember it as. It's been around since the 1970s. where before it was Safeway. And Safeway saw kind of a lot of history pass through Mount Pleasant. It's seen a lot of changing demographics and things like that. And most notably, Safeway's featured on the Heritage Park Trail in Mount Pleasant. There are pictures of it after the MLK riots in 1968,
yeah.
Where some of the stores were windows were smashed, and there's some people sitting outside it.
So wait, it was the Best Way? It was a Safeway before it was the Best Way?
Yes.
Yeah.
But when was this? So was it before? So it was after the riots that it changed to Best Way?
Yes. So it was
after the MLK.
After the MLK. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the 1968 MLK riots, it was a Safeway. In 1975, I believe, it turned to Best Way.
Yeah.
And after, I think it was 19, what was the timeline I got here? 2009, actually, it was changed to Best World.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
I remember the day I realized it. It was in the middle of a blizzard. And I looked and up, like, I was like,
did they change that
to World?
Yeah. So the store changed owners. And when the store changed owners, they did not allow or permit, rather, them to keep the same name of Best Way. So they're like, okay, what can we make with Best Way?
Best they're like, World.
Best World?
Yeah.
And so they just changed like the last two letters on this.
It's incredible.
Yeah. But Best Way saw the 1991 Mount Pleasant riots,
right,
after the police shooting of an unarmed Salvadorian man during the, I think it was the Cinco de Mayo celebrations. And Robin, I think you did a projection on that, right? Or
this year, yeah, we did a projection of imagery from the riot on the wall.
Yeah,
just really kind of. I didn't really know what to do. it's like I wanted just to show, like, to mark the day.
Yeah, sure.
And there's a thing at the library too. The Mount Pleasant mm-hmm. Library had a mm-hmm. talk where people talked about their stories of that time period.
Yeah, and yeah, so those riots happened and. There was a lot of looting and curfews and some laws came out of it where now you see a lot of the police presence in Mount Pleasant because it is a Latinx community. They now speak Spanish. They oftentimes are from the community. And those efforts were made after the riots. So fast forward to now, Best World is trying to renew their lease and... you know, one of the reasons why I moved to Mount Pleasant in D.C. is because of Best World, because they serve a certain section of the populace, mostly Latinx, Asian communities that made me really feel at home, that you can really find the best of all kind of cuisines and foods and income levels. There's cheap produce. There's more expensive organic produce there. It's really just a gem in the city. And so when I had heard that a CVS might be taking over the store since they were trying to renew their lease, I started reaching out to people in the community to see what was going on and how we could help. And so in working with a lot of like local nonprofits, including the Mount Pleasant Main Streets, Robert Frazier runs that.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, he's great.
He also runs the farmer's market.
He gave us that big spotlight that's sitting out in front of Sun's.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just, the day that we opened, we have, if you've never been to Sun's, it's a movie theater, and we have a huge blue spotlight, very old, like for fashion or something, I don't know, but... The day that we opened, this gentleman, Robert, just kind of walked in and was like, hey, do you guys want a spotlight? And like, sure. Anyways, continue.
So yeah, working with Robert. We're also working with District Bridges, Brianne Dornbush. District Bridges has the Main Streets grant for Columbia Heights, Georgia Avenue, and Mount Pleasant. And so they work with small and local businesses on projects. We're also, through this, we're also working with the mayor's office on Asian American and Pacific Islander affairs. And
cool.
Because the owners of Best World are Korean American. And so we wanted to bring them in to make sure that we were addressing, because I myself am not Korean, so I wanted to make sure that we were addressing all the, you know, cultural or, you know, social issues that maybe I myself wouldn't think of, and they would, having a Korean business oriented office. So they've been super, super helpful. David Doe, if you're listening, thanks. And so
highly unlikely.
So I think one of the first steps that we took was to kind of get a survey of the community and see what their thoughts were about Best World. And in that survey, we found out a lot of things, but I think most importantly that people fell kind of into one of three camps. The first camp was, we love Best World. It should never leave. Very, very supportive.
Yeah.
You know, we do all our shopping there. Please stay. The second camp was a little more on the fence. They were like, we like Best World. It's very convenient. It's nice. It's got all the things we need. It could use an update.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. The building's kind of old. At the time, there were big grates on the windows because of the riots in the 90s. And, you know, it needs a new coat of paint, I'll be honest. And then the third camp was pretty opposed to it. And I think a lot of these people came from higher socioeconomic backgrounds and didn't quite understand the role that Best World plays in our community, and the service that it provides to the community, which is accessible food for everyone. Yeah. And they also chimed in with a lot of racist vitriol, like,
yeah, that was interesting.
English and
to see, but not shocking.
It's
smile,
it's
more.
Sad.
That's a good one.
Smile more.
Yeah,
yeah. Whoa. Everyone loves to be told that.
Yeah, I'll say, as someone who's been in Mount Pleasant for about 14 years, I'm very pro Best World. I think Best World is it's more than worth fighting for. It's an ideal. Like, I do see, like, the people who shop there and the people who work there, it's something special. Like, and it's cool to see what you're doing, because that's a place where, like, you know, there's one thing that I want to highlight that they do is, if you buy a specific amount of groceries, they'll drive you home with it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something for when you see people who are, you know, like, it's a big deal that they go there, they get their groceries, and they get driven home because they can't carry it all or take public mm-hmm. transportation. Mm-hmm. And it's like a real service.
Yeah, the elderly, the disabled.
I had no idea about that. That's cool.
Yeah, the English-speaking, the non-English-speaking, everyone's welcome there. And I think in working there, I'm oftentimes, well, you know, I really shouldn't be, but I'm oftentimes surprised at the diversity of individual that comes into that store. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you see, I mean, it's funny because there's, I mean, it's interesting, like, too, like, because, you know, of what their selection is, like, the stuff that they do have there, it really does serve communities in the mm-hmm. DC area. Like, there's mm-hmm. specific goods and things that you're like, until I moved to the neighborhood, I had no clue.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm spoiled, like, by having that so close.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we're gonna fight for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, tell us what is happening now specifically, mm-hmm. and maybe guide people towards ways in which they can be more informed and be involved.
Yeah. So I would say, if you're interested in learning more or signing up to volunteer, you can go to our website, which is bestworldsupermarket.wordpress.com. You can learn more about the store, about the history, more about the different things that we're doing. It's a good resource for anyone out there who has questions. And right now, specifically, what we are focusing our efforts on is to try and sort of revamp the store, update it, put more modern appliances, new paint, new doors, new windows, and in order to, like, encourage more people to feel comfortable about coming in. We've already made a lot of good efforts in terms of, like, removing the grates on the windows. Yeah. And changing the glass on the doors, and we're going to continue doing that. And there's also a survey on the website that you can take and leave your feedback, which is always helpful. And so the next steps, more or less, are to try and replace all the glass on the windows, get new doors, and then maybe do a new paint job on it, because it needs that. Yeah. And so in order to do that, we got a quote the other day. It's around $5,000, which is not too bad. It's nice
for the entire building?
To do the windows and the doors, and then the paint would be separate, but it probably wouldn't be more than another $1,000 or so. And so we are going to be doing a series of fundraisers coming up, I think starting in September, to try and raise that money. There's also a donate page. You can donate to us on PayPal. It's bestworldsupermarket@gmail.com If you want to send some dollars our way, if you don't have time to volunteer, we'll do either. You know, if you can come by for a couple hours on a Saturday, or if you can throw a couple bucks our way, it's all appreciated.
Yeah. Do you want to speak to some of the fundraising? I don't know. Do we need to? Where are we at, Jack?
You have in a few more minutes.
Okay.
Cool. So I think the most solid fundraiser that we have coming up is on September the 15th. We will be having a couple of local DC punk bands, Park Snakes, Cool People with Nanette, and
Nanette is also a friend and neighbor of Sans.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And Mary Melgado, she's a part of Cool People.
Nice.
And we're also looking for a few more bands if anyone out there wants to reach out to us, that'd be great. But
and
we'll be
Jack at the Line Hotel.
Correct, yes.
But we will be doing a punk show in the produce section of Best World, so it'll be neat.
Wow.
Right?
That's wow.
And if I don't know if maybe someone here wants to do a projection for it might be cool, I guess.
Can we fight over that, Robin?
Yeah.
I want to do it. Cinema?
Dude, David's like, David, yeah. September, yeah, what's going on September 15th at Suns?
Well, I think we're potentially doing an after party thing there.
Yeah, too, yeah, I think so that might be a goal, and then some of the proceeds from the bar will yeah. help us out. It's neat because so the way that Best World is set up, especially in the produce section, we have these bins on the right-hand side that are full of produce, but they have wheels on them, so we can move those around and kind of block off certain sections. And then on the left-hand side, there's these big white, they're technically like produce covers, but you can pull them down and hook them down, so it's just like a wall of white that something cool could be projected on while we rock out to punk music in a produce section.
It's pretty, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen, I've filmed shows in a lot of different places.
Or
I can say I've never filmed a punk rock show.
In a grocery store.
Filming it would be cool, actually.
Yeah, it'd be totally.
Pretty crazy.
And then we can show it. It's all coming together. Perfect. Well, thank you to both of you for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks
you
for
guys,
having us.
You guys saved the show. Next week, we will have the CEO of CVS to try and defend CVS. Anyways, thank you for listening. This is the Sun Cinema Podcast. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Ask his father Thanks. That the last creature alive. Be allowed to go free. Well now, my friend. Well now.
Oh, check it out.
All right.
Look pretty cool, though, man.
I would say they were way off course. This is very unusual.
You do something, Mr. Teasdale. Thank you.
Josie Ellis.
What's going on, my friend?
Over to you.